Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth a hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise are 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought an incredible thing, a thing incredible with you, that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and to witness both of those of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with them, and when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. May God bless the reading of his word and preface the message this afternoon with simply saying that this morning we read of the Apostle Paul and some of the great things that he was able to do through the Holy Spirit. And this afternoon we're reading a portion of Scripture, how he testified before kings and governors. And I believe it's clear to all of us, but I believe it's also worth bearing noting that we're not here to glorify man, but we're here to glorify what God has done through man. So we're not here to elevate the Apostle Paul or any other individual. It's simply that we elevate that the power of God was working in a man, and for that we glorify God. We glorify him because of the power that God gave. And so as we consider these scriptures this afternoon, as well as from this morning, that we're here to glorify the Creator, not the creation. The Apostle Paul was commissioned by Jesus Christ. That's very clear, that he would go and bring forth a message of salvation through Jesus Christ, through faith in him, to the Gentiles. And he met with the elders of Ephesus, and he spoke to them, and he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He was very careful that when he brought forth the message, it was all the counsel of God. This is the whole gospel. This is the whole truth. It's more than the law. It's more than about the practices of the day, but it was about Jesus Christ and salvation through his name. And so it is that today it can be no different, that we bring forth the whole counsel of God, all the counsel of God, bringing forth the truth that is therein. And he says here to the elders of Ephesus, he says, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I don't know how things are going to go, but I do know that bonds and affliction await me. He knew that there was going to be trouble for him as he made his way back to Jerusalem, and it was so. He did. He had this trouble, and he was persecuted, and he was falsely accused. And so we read of that at this portion of Scripture here, even now. But again, it was that whether it was to Jews or to kings or to the Gentiles that he brought forth a message. It was the message of Jesus Christ. And here he's saying that he's thankful. He has this opportunity now, King Agrippa. I have this opportunity, and I'm going to speak for myself, touching the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. And he speaks of his youth, and he says, the Jews, they all know that I was originally from Jerusalem, and I grew up in the Jewish traditions, and actually I was part of the Pharisees, and I was of the straitest sect of them. And my upbringing was very strict, very disciplined, but it wasn't good enough, as we heard this morning. And so he says, And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. He's saying, all along, we Pharisees have had this hope, that there's going to be a resurrection. This hope it was promised to us. That promise was made of God. And he's saying, this is what I'm being accused of. And he says, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? For verily I thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So here he's saying, I was brought up in a very strict way, in a way that kept the law, in a way that really impressed even the Jewish people. He says, in Philippians, he writes to them and says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, in Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. He had an impeccable resume. And he's saying, the people of the day, they all knew that. They all knew what my resume consisted of. And we had a promise from God that the dead are going to rise. We have a hope. And so he's saying, why would it be a thing incredible with you, King Agrippa, that God should raise the dead? And then he says, I verily thought with myself. Now he was recalling what he was and the things that he was doing. He's saying that I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This is when he wasn't dwelling in the whole counsel of God. This is when he was doing his own sense of righteousness. And he thought within himself that he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. And he did. That he did. We read in Acts chapter 8 that he made havoc of the church. He really made their life very, very difficult. And he was doing these things contrary to the name of Jesus. Why? Because he was going about to establish his own righteousness rather than submitting himself to the righteousness of God. The Jews had that issue, that they thought that they could bring about their own righteousness. He writes in Romans, he says, "For I bear them record, that they, being the Jews, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." It wasn't according to knowledge. And Saul, when he was unconverted, he had this zeal, but not. It wasn't according to knowledge. It wasn't according to the whole counsel of God. According to how God had it planned from the very beginning and fulfilled then through Jesus Christ. "Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." And so it was. That was the life of Saul. He made it very difficult for the church. But God had a better plan. And as the church was sent out from that persecution, they went and preached the gospel everywhere. And so even though that Saul meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And so he says, whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, and he speaks of how he met Jesus in the way. It's broad daylight, and then now a light source that's greater than broad daylight is shown on them. And they were fallen onto the earth, and Jesus speaks to him and says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Why are you persecuting me?" Was he persecuting Jesus specifically? Not necessarily, but when he was making havoc of the church, he was persecuting Jesus. Whatever we do to the least of his, we are doing it to him. And so Saul was persecuting Jesus. "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." All power is given unto Jesus. All power is given to him. There's no one that can fight against that power and win. And so he was kicking against the pricks. There was no way that Saul, with all the discipline that he had, with all the credentials that he had, was going to be able to fight against God and win. And so Jesus appears to him. And Jesus takes this broken vessel, this vessel that was contrary to God, that was contrary to Jesus, that persecuted Jesus. God took that vessel and made it a chosen vessel unto him, because God can do that. Only he can do that. And so Jesus continues and speaks to him, "Rise, stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." Jesus giving Saul, or the becoming Apostle Paul, this purpose, "to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee." There's things that the Apostle Paul had saw, and there were things that he was yet to see that he was going to testify of these things. "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Clearly being sent to the Gentiles. And here it is. This is the purpose for the Apostle Paul. To open their eyes. That the Gentiles would have their eyes to be open. That they would recognize this truth that Jesus was sent for them as well. Not simply to the children of Israel only, but for them as well. That they would come to understand this truth that for God so loved the world, not just the Jewish nation, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so it is that was the purpose that Jesus had for the Apostle Paul, to open the eyes of the Gentiles, that they might come to understand this truth, that through faith in him, they might have salvation as well. To turn them from darkness unto light. To turn them from this, from being having this lack of knowledge of who Jesus was, but that they might be illuminated with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible also says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," this is God's light, this is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, "hath shined in our hearts," in our very hearts, that we would come to understand him, that we would know this truth, that it would be that God's light would be shown into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That through Jesus Christ, we might come to this knowledge. "I have not shunned to declare unto thee all the knowledge," or the fullness of knowledge of God. And so, God commanded this light, the light of Jesus Christ, that we might receive this knowledge of the glory of God. This was the message, and this was the truth that God was, that Jesus had ordained for the Apostle Paul to go forth and bring that message, to turn them from darkness to light. That the Gentile, this was new. This was completely new. Samaritans weren't to be an enlightened people. The Jews of Judea wanted to take a detour around Samaria so they wouldn't have to interact with the Samaritans. They were that vile to them. But now here, it's being revealed. All the knowledge of God, the fullness of his message, the fullness of his plan of salvation, that they would be, the Gentiles themselves would turn from darkness to light. This was a big deal for them. From the power of Satan unto God, these Gentiles, that they would receive this power, the power of God, that power would overcome the power of Satan in their lives. That they would come to know this power of God. And it's only the divine power of God that can give us his divine nature. We cannot procure a divine nature of ourselves by any means. That'll never happen. That where we can have a divine nature, that of ourselves. But we read in Peter's epistle that it is his divine power that gives us a divine nature. And so, this was Jesus' message to the Apostle Paul, that he would turn the Gentiles from the power of Satan unto the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. We see over and over that the Pharisees had such a difficult time that when Jesus would say to someone, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," they had such a difficult time with that. But here it is that the Gentiles, even themselves, would receive forgiveness of sins. This is why Jesus came to this earth. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, that all men who believe in him would have the forgiveness of sins. No more condemnation, but a promise of a hope of a resurrection, that we might be with God forever. And then he says also, lastly, that the Gentiles would have an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Sanctified by faith that is in me. That they would come to realize this, that this sanctification is now no longer by the law, it is now by faith in Jesus Christ. Again, the Bible says, in being found in him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, that the righteousness which is of God, and the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now it's a righteousness, it's a sanctification, it's a cleansing that is by faith. That's how we become clean before God. That's how we can stand before him in righteousness. And this is the declaration of the whole counsel of God, that we now become righteous. We now become sanctified by our faith in Jesus Christ. This was a change from the law, and it was a very difficult thing for them to bear, the Jews of this time. And perhaps this is why they had such strong accusations against him. They had thoughts of how the righteousness of God was according to the law. But righteousness comes by faith. Righteousness of God comes by faith. The Bible says that in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. In Christ Jesus, the only thing that avails anything is faith which worketh by love. That was a message we heard this morning. Faith, an unfeigned faith, a real faith, a genuine faith, a faith that believes with God all things are possible. Anything, all things are possible with God. That's an unfeigned faith, a faith that just simply believes if God said it, it'll be. I don't know how, but it'll be. That's an unfeigned faith. Having that faith in God was proven in the Gospels when Jesus would do his miracles, that those who had that faith, they were healed, they were saved. And this is the righteousness now that he's calling us to. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. In Christ Jesus, circumcision doesn't mean anything anymore. For the Jews, for the period of this time, this was a big deal. This was a big deal for the Jews of this time. How can circumcision or uncircumcision mean nothing anymore? How can that be? But Jesus came to bring us a new and a living way, a new way in Christ. And so he says that this truth to them, and it was profound. And many of the Jews obviously then struggled with this. How can this be that in Jesus Christ, circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't avail anything? But it's faith that worketh by love. That's what avails. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. So once Saul came to realize that this light was shown to him and Jesus spoke to him and that he was given this purpose, that he was going to be sent to the Gentiles and he was going to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, and that their sins would be forgiven and that they would receive righteousness by faith. Once he received this truth, he was all in. He was all in. He submitted himself to the power of God, and he had this divine nature, and he was not disobedient, but he was obedient to that heavenly vision. And now he was no longer making havoc in the church, but he was edifying the church. He was building the church. He was strengthening the church. He was encouraging the church, sending them letters even when he was in prison himself. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. This was his message. Again, as we heard Wednesday night, the message of repentance has to go forth. It's a message that John the Baptist brought, Jesus brought, the apostles brought. It was a message that came forth all the time. Repent. Repent and turn to God. Do works meet for repentance. What did they need to repent from? What was it that they needed to make right before God? Circumcision didn't avail anything anymore. Jesus came to fulfill the law. When Jesus came to fulfill the law, circumcision didn't mean anything anymore. The washing of pots and pans and of washing of hands before eating didn't mean anything anymore. The law said that you couldn't wear linen and wool together. That was prohibited. That didn't mean anything anymore. To the Jews, that was a very difficult thing for them to understand. But Jesus, this is the whole counsel of God. This is the whole truth. And so he was to bring forth this message of repentance. So repentance from what? Not from circumcision, not from wearing wool and linen together, but repentance of those things that defile us, those things that come out of our heart. And these are those things. For that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. These are the things to repent from. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile the man. These are the things that which defile the man, and Jesus says, the message is to repent from these things. Pride. Remove pride from your life. Repent from pride. Don't think of yourself as too highly of yourself. A person that's full of themselves cannot love his neighbor. How can he love his neighbor? He's too full of love for his own self. From foolishness. From things that don't edify. That foolishness that's just going on and on and on with silly, silly things. Repent from that. Repent from evil thoughts. These are the things that defile us, and this is the message. Repent. Repent from these things. That we might be saved. That we might have that light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That we would be living underneath the whole counsel of God. This is what God wants for us. And so for this cause, as the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Again, there's a chapter earlier, I'm not sure which one it is, 25, 24, or 23, one of these earlier chapters, it speaks that the Jews thought that the Apostle Paul had brought a Gentile into the temple. That was really going to defile somebody? And so for those reasons they accused the Apostle Paul, and they went about to kill him. They had a very, very difficult time accepting the whole counsel of God, that through faith in Jesus, they can have life when they repent from those things that defile a soul. And so he says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue of this day. Now he's saying, I didn't go about away with my own thinking. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm doing it now in the help of God, with the help of God. And he's continuing to this day. He didn't know what a day was going to bring forth. He didn't know. He's sitting in prison often, or he was beaten, or he was in shipwreck. He didn't know what a day was going to bring forth. But he received help of God. And so He's saying, witnessing both to small and great, King Agrippa and Festus and Felix and others, and yet to the small as well, to those who would be praying by the riverside, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. This is the whole counsel of God. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Before Abraham was, I am. It all points back to Jesus. It all points back to Jesus. When the Apostle Paul came to that recognition, then he pointed to Jesus. We need to point to Jesus. We need to repent from those things that defile us. We need to live for him. Luke concludes the Acts of the Apostles by writing these words, that the Apostle Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired or rented house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching what? Teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. This is what he was teaching. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. This is the whole gospel. This is the whole counsel of God. It all culminated with Jesus. And now circumcision, the wearing of wool and linen, all those things don't apply anymore. The righteousness of God is a righteousness that comes by faith. Faith and a hearing of the word of God. If we revert back to any other thing, the teaching or commandments of men, or any other thing other than preaching Jesus Christ, we will fall. That's a guarantee. We will fall from our way. We will lose our way. The preaching of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only must go forth. Glory be to his name. Amen.